On the bottom is page 98. On the top is page Chof Tes. We're going to start 2, 4, 6, 8 lines in the bottom of the page. Okay. We're in the middle of Perek Chof Gimel. Closer to the end of Chof Gimel. The Alter Rebbe was explaining the difference between doing mitzvahs and learning Torah. The difference between learning doing mitzvahs and learning Torah is as follows. The Zohar explains that the mitzvahs are called the limbs of Hashem, the organs of Hashem. The limb of the person's body, the hand, is completely nullified to the soul. The second you want to move your hand, you move your hand, right? The hand doesn't feel itself. When do you have a sick hand? The question, what's the chicken, what's the egg? But when your hand hurts, that means you feel your hand, that shows you're sick. Right? If you don't have a headache, you don't think you have a head. I mean, you might have a head, but you don't feel your head. When you have a headache, that means you're sick, or stomach ache, right? Because then it's not completely nullified to the neshama, to the soul, and therefore the person is actually not subjugated, and because of that, it's taka sick. But a healthy person doesn't feel their body because the body is completely nullified and subjugated. The second you want to move, you move. But it's not the soul. It's subjugated to the soul, but it's not the soul. When somebody rides a horse, the horse goes where the rider wants it to go, but the horse is not the rider. It's two separate things, but it's what's called batel. When somebody learns Torah, he's explaining, Torah is the wisdom of God, which is synonymous with God Himself. Therefore, Torah is not the limb of Hashem that we're connecting ourselves to when we do a mitzvah. Torah is the essence of Hashem. And therefore, the Zohar says when it comes to mitzvahs, the 248 mitzvahs are the 248 limbs of Hashem. When it comes to Torah study, the Zohar says, Araisa v'kutcha b'richu kol echad, God and Torah are all one. And therefore, when a person studies Torah, they're connecting themselves to the essence of Hashem. They're not necessarily connecting themselves to the limbs of Hashem. They're connecting themselves to the essence of Hashem. So he says now like this. U'bezeh yuvan, from this we can understand, lama god lama eid ma'ilas ha'esik ba'teira, why occupying in themselves in Torah, meaning studying Torah, is greater, mikol ha'mitzvahs, from all other mitzvahs, afilu mitfila, even than davening, even than prayer. A person studying Torah, here the Alter Rebbe is speaking like the other place says differently. I mean, Chassidus itself says different things in different places. But here he's saying that the studying of Torah is even greater than davening, than prayer, even though prayer is yichud elam esalyanim, is the unity of the highest worlds. Tefillah is the attachment of a Jew to God. Davening causes unities of God in the spiritual realms. And I'm going to spend some time over here because it's, as we said, Chassidus 101. You have a problem, you pray. That's the rule, right? That's the name of the game. You have a problem, you daven. What does davening do? What does prayer do? Why putting on tefillin is not going to do it? Why giving tzedakah is not going to do it? Why doing lulav and esrig is not going to do it? What is unique about davening that no other mitzvah has in getting what you need from Hashem? Okay? So to explain it in the more details as follows. You have a single man and a single woman. Single man, single woman cannot reproduce. Right? If there's no unity, there's no reproduction. In the godly spheres, there are masculine and feminine spheres. Chochma is masculine, Bina is feminine, the six spheres are masculine, Malchus is feminine. There's masculine and feminine. Throughout, why is there male and female down here? Because in the godly realms, there's male and female. There's masculine and feminine. Normally, when God sustains the world, you have the 10 attributes of God, right? The 10 spheres. So Chochmah goes into Bina, and Bina into Das, into Chesed. It just trickles down a ladder. right down a rung of the rungs of a ladder. It goes from higher to lower. But then there's no great shake, or there's no great accomplishment. When you want to accomplish something more, you need to have unity between male and female, can produce a lot of offspring. That can't be if there's no unity. When a person prays to Hashem, they daven to Hashem, what they're actually causing in the spiritual realms is unity between male and female in the spheres of godliness. When there's the male and female unity in the spiritual realms, that produces greater results down here. Now, in the name of Hashem, the tetragram, Yud Kei Vav Kei, there's two males and there's two females. There's Yud, there's Hey, there's Vav and Hey. Right? Yud in Hebrew is masculine. Hey in Hebrew is feminine. Right? In feminine, if it ends with a hey, it's feminine. Right? If it ends with a yud or something like that, then it's masculine. So in the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, you have Yud and Hey, and then you have Vav and Hey. Right? What does that represent kabbalistically? Yud is the male, Hey is the female, father and mother, Vav is the son, and the second Hey is the daughter. That means the complete concept of Yud Kei Vav Kei is when you have father, mother, son, and daughter. Because when there's a unity of father and mother, Yud Kei, then you create Vav Kei, you create son and daughter. What does tefillah, what does davening accomplish? When a person davens to Hashem, they actually cause spiritual unifications, spiritual unity of the spiritual realms, which allows greater revelations of godliness to come down into the world. Right? That's what davening accomplishes. Therefore, if you want something from Hashem, you need to get it down from the spiritual realm. How do you get it down from the spiritual realm? By causing unities of the male and female, of the attributes of Hashem. How do you accomplish that? When you daven, that's what you accomplish. So he says, even when you daven, that causes the spiritual realms to be united, which causes greater revelations of godliness, it still doesn't come to the greatness and the unity with God that you accomplish when you study Torah. You can't compare it, he says. Because this is still a mitzvah, which is the limb and organ of Hashem, and studying Torah is the essence of Hashem. And when you study Torah, you connect it to the essence of Hashem. So now the Alter Rebbe is going to ask, so if so, there's a law that people that study Torah stop to do mitzvahs. Right? Stop to do mitzvahs. They have to stop to daven. They have to stop to put on tefillin. They have to stop to give tzedakah. They need to stop to do lulav and esrog, to hear the Megillah. Right? So the question, if Torah is greater, why do they stop? So he said like this, v'ha demi shein Torah siyum nasi, a person whose Torah is not his occupation, Tzarech La'afsik, has to stop for mitzvahs. The question, why should he stop for mitzvahs if learning is greater? He said very simple. Because me'achad de'mafsik u'mevato b'lavachi. Because you're anyway stopping to do business. You're anyway stopping for other things. If you're stopping already, then you have to stop to do mitzvahs too. And this, like we explained a number of times already, there's a very interesting halacha that seemingly doesn't make sense. There's halacha, if somebody's learning, they're learning Torah, and a mitzvah comes up. They need to help an old lady cross the street. Yeah? Do they stop learning and do the mitzvah, or they continue learning and don't do the mitzvah? So halacha says, what do you do? So it says like this. If somebody else could do the mitzvah instead of you, you keep learning, let somebody else do the mitzvah. But if nobody else could do the mitzvah, only you, then you have to stop and do the mitzvah. Okay, that's the halacha. So everybody asks, it doesn't make sense. If learning is greater, you should never stop learning. Even if somebody else could do the mitzvah, or not could, they're not able to do the mitzvah, why are you stopping to learn? Learning is greater. If learning is not greater, then you should always stop to do the mitzvah and stop learning. In other words, it's a very funny din. He said like this, if somebody else could do the mitzvah, you keep learning. Because learning is greater. Yet if nobody else could do the mitzvah, you need to stop learning to do the mitzvah, which means the mitzvah is greater. So like, which one is it? So the explanation Chassidus gives is very simple. Learning is greater. Learning is a greater unity with God than mitzvahs. But the purpose of creation was to do mitzvahs in the physical world, to make the physical mitzvah, the physical world holy by doing a mitzvah. So Hashem says, listen, if the mitzvah is going to get done by somebody else anyway, that means the physical world will be elevated, mission accomplished through somebody else. You keep learning because learning is greater. But if somebody else cannot do that mitzvah, and that's, granted learning is greater, but you know something? God says, I want a dwelling place down here, I need physical mitzvahs in a physical world, and that's primary. That's the main priority. But as far as relationship with God, in unity with God, in closeness to Hashem, learning is much greater than any mitzvah. Even davening. So the Alter Rebbe is explaining that the concept of Torah, because it's one with Hashem, and you by learning Torah becomes one with Hashem, it's much greater revelation of godliness than any mitzvah. And like we explained last time, the Alter Rebbe in Perek Hei, in the fifth chapter, the Alter Rebbe explained the concept like this. In the physical world, the soda is in the cup, but the cup is not in the soda. Correct? The soda is in the cup, but the cup is not in the soda. Okay? The only exception to this, the only exception to this in this world, is when you learn something. No matter what you're learning. When you are studying math, yeah, the math is in your head. You're bringing the math into your head. Yet, while you're learning math, you can't study science at the same time. Why? Because your mind is in the math. She says, Seichel is a phenomenal concept. It's in you, and you're in it. Right? That unity, that A is in B, and B is in A, doesn't exist in this physical world only by intellect. The table is in the room is not in the table. The only exception is when you study something, you are in the subject matter that you're studying, and that's why you cannot learn anything else, because my mind is in it, and the seichel, the intellect, is in your mind. That level of unity is only by intellect. Now, if the intellect that you're studying is godly, Torah, which is one with God, what happens? The unity of the Jew and the Torah and Hashem is so unbelievably great. There's no such unity existing in the physical world besides that. God is in you, because Torah is synonymous with Hashem. It's Hashem's wisdom. Torah is in you, you're in Torah, and therefore you mamish one thing with Hashem. You are united with Hashem and every side and angle and corner, and no matter what it is. And he says, that's the uniqueness of studying Torah. You become one entity, completely bound to God. And therefore, like we mentioned, whatever it was, that's why a godly mind can give worldly advice, can give business advice, medical advice, you name it advice. Why? Because the mind is so united with God, so to speak, it's funny language, it thinks like God. It thinks godly because the mind is so united with God. And that's the uniqueness of studying Torah over any other mitzvah. And that's why we say Talmud Torah connected kulam. Talmud Torah is equal to all the mitzvahs. Because that's the uniqueness of Torah.
So he says now, four lines from the bottom. Mizeh yuchlamas kulam shecholad yira gedela. From this, any intellectual person can bring upon himself yira gedela, tremendous great fear, by a sulky potato when he occupies himself and studies Teda. Why? By the way, and if you notice again, something we also mentioned, it doesn't say when you study Teda. It says ba'asoki b'teda, which means when your occupation is Teda. This only works when a person makes Teda his business, not learning. There's learning Teda, and there's an expression in our sages, Chazal say, Eisek HaTeda means it's your occupation. What's the difference? If you work 9 to 5, you have a job 9 to 5, you're a great worker, you work properly 9 to 5, but you know something? Before 9 o'clock you're not thinking business, and after 5 o'clock you're not thinking business. Right? When it's your business, when it's your occupation, then you eat business, and you sleep business, and you dream business, and you walk business, and everything is business. The difference between learning something is similar to the difference between knowing and feeling. Knowing, I can know something, but it doesn't affect me directly. The Alter Rebbe is saying over here, this unity between the Jew and God, by learning, is primarily when it becomes your business. Meaning, it takes over the person completely in a way that this is their occupation. They eat it, they sleep it, they walk it, they talk it, they do whatever they need. Then the unity is there. But if one minute you're learning, and the next minute your mind is going who knows where, you don't have that same level of unity with Hashem, because it's not you anymore. So he said, that's what he uses the expression, by Basaka b'teira, when he occupies himself as a business in Teira, she is bein in, when a person thinks, Ech shenav shivluvushal shebemeichu piv, the way is the soul and the garments of the soul, meaning thought, speech, and action. They're mamish united and one with Hashem. The earnings of Baruch Hu mamish with the essence of Hashem, hamizgalabam, that reveals itself in the person. Mashakol elamis elyeinim v'tachteinim, that all the worlds, the higher worlds and the lower worlds, are nothing compared to the essence of Hashem. Yet, when a person studies Teda, they are connected to the essence of Hashem. Achenim islavish b'seichem mamish, it's so great that godliness cannot come into the worlds. Ella, seviv kolamin, it's only a way of encompassing the world, surrounding the world, like we learned already many times. Lachayusam ikachayusam, to give him primary life. Rak eza ha'ara, only a little ray of godliness. Mislabish b'seichem dresses itself into the world. Mashiachelum lizbil, what the world can handle. She is batul b'mesias agam, meaning like this. No matter how high the worlds are, how infinitely great the worlds are, they're still limited worlds. Right? Therefore, the only way the infinite God, the real infinite God, can reveal itself into a limited world is a very slight revelation of godliness. Because God as is, if he comes into the world, is going to bust. It's going to, like you put, you know, ice, it's going to make the container break. Because it's too great. If you have too great a revelation, you know why your fuses or your circuit breakers break? There's too much, right? There's too much electricity for the vessel, so it breaks. It can't handle it. So what could the worlds handle? A minute, slight, little revelation of God. When a Jew learns Teda, their mind is connected to the essence of Hashem, which is much greater than the amount of godliness that exists in Atzilus and Bria and all the spiritual realms of godliness. You can't even compare it. And he said, because of this is what the Pasuk says, God commanded us all these mitzvahs. For what purpose? Le'yira es Hashem, to fear God. Meaning, Val Yira G'delezu, and this great fear that happens through mitzvahs, it says, Im ein chochma ein yira. If there's no wisdom, there's no fear. I'll explain in a second. Va'teira nekras etzla, and the teira is called the gate, the darta to the fear. Meaning like this. When a person becomes fearful, they become completely nullified. When you do something out of love, you have a feeling to the one you're doing it for. When you do something out of fear, you become completely nullified. Yeah, I'm going to, what do you think I'm not going to... The difference between a child and a slave. A child will do things for the parents. Correct? They're supposed to. I wonder when my daughter left. A child is supposed to do something for a parent, and a slave does something for the parent. Right? The child does not do it out of bittul to the parent, out of nullification to the parent. A child does it out of love to the parent. A slave doesn't love the boss. A slave doesn't necessarily love the master. He's doing it because, by the definition of a slave, there's no will what you want. You do what the master wants. Right? Who is more nullified to the boss? The slave to the master, or the child to the parent? The child is not nullifying himself. He loves the parent. He's doing it out of love. Love is not nullification. If I do something to somebody I love, it's not that I'm nullifying myself to them. On the contrary, I feel the love, and that's why I'm doing it. When a slave does something, they do it out of complete nullification. They don't exist. And he says, that's why Hashem says, I'm giving you all these mitzvahs to fear Hashem. What does Hashem ultimately want from us? Hashem ultimately wants us to do mitzvahs because Hashem told us to do it. We nullify ourselves to the master. What happens when you nullify yourself to the master? You know what happens? You don't become a separate entity. You become the master. And this you see in Chumash with Eliezer. When Eliezer was sent to find a shidduch for Rivka, you know, in the Chumash, right? It doesn't say his name even once. It says Avraham Avinu called in a servant. Doesn't say a name. He called in a servant, and he said, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to swear to me you're going to find a shidduch, okay? And it says, the servant went. He finally comes to make the shatchan pitch, you know, to make the shidduch. What does he say? Eved Avraham Anechi. Who was it? That was Eliezer. We all know it was Eliezer, but it doesn't say Chumash was Eliezer. It just says, the servant of Avraham I am. Right? It doesn't have a name. Because the concept of a servant is, there is no existence. The servant is only the existence of the master. And Hashem says, that comes through fear. Fear is total nullification. When you're completely nullified, what are you? The master. In our case, when we fear Hashem, what do we become? We become Hashem. Completely subservient to God. There's no me involved. When you do something out of love, is because I love them, that's why I'm doing it. Because I love. You don't say because I fear. There's no I that fears. Fear means you don't exist. Whatever the master wants, that's what you want. So it's a much higher level. And that's what Hashem wants us to accomplish when we do a mitzvah. When a Jew becomes a mitzvah, does a mitzvah, they actually become so one with Hashem that there's no other way of becoming one. Especially when you learn Torah, then your essence is connected to Hashem's essence, and therefore you really become one. And that's why Hashem says, I'm giving you mitzvahs because I want you to fear Hashem. But Alter Rebbe is going to just finish off, and he says, not every mind can handle this level of fear, because it's a tremendously great level of fear, that all you feel is the Master, all you feel is Hashem, nothing else. And that's extremely great level. And therefore he's going to continue why a person needs to be happy. Because the greatest accomplishment for a human is not making another $1 million, is not accomplishing to become who knows what, because that's all limited. The greatest accomplishment for a person is that they become godly. They become from creation into creator. They become from finite to infinite, from limited to unlimited. And that's only by doing what Hashem wants us to do. Okay.